The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good yawning this morning. It is Monday, the 15th of March, 2021, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is going to be entitled 10 Things the PM and FNM Could Have Been Doing This Weekend Instead of Just Road and Hurting People's Feelings. Also entitled, What the PM, the FNM, and the PLP Could Have Been Doing Instead of Breaching COVID Protocols and Lowering the Level of Public Discourse in the Country. My guest today is Cecil Newry, an amateur historian, a paralegal, a poet and writer, a social commentator and political analyst, and a blogger, a social media blogger. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
All my business out today. It's good to be here, especially on your new show. I'm excited about it. I welcome you to the national conversation. You definitely have a voice that is important to be heard, and I'm excited to be here today.
Yeah. So I want to start the conversation touching on a bit of some things I observed this weekend, right? I observed a lot of things, especially on the road. On Saturdays, I work my produce wife. I do a lot of driving.
So I Your real job.
Yeah. On Saturday, no, man, this is my real job. Getting on people's nerves. Okay. But I spent a lot of time on the road. Watch a lot of cars, a lot of people in their cars and what they were doing. I witnessed a lot of behavior that I don't want to call recklessness. Right? I want to say that that requires a lot more mindfulness, right? And it got me to thinking about mindfulness and the things that we observe or can observe when we're paying attention to our surroundings, right? And I tell you what I noticed this weekend, and I realized, I noticed that mangoes are late. Tamarinds are late. Jujus are late. And they ain't just late like how the former prime minister used to be late for events. Right, these are 2.5 months late. And I realized that there's something serious. When I say serious, it's something substantive, right? Something is happening in nature around us, right? And I wondered if other people are paying attention to it. We see the effects of climate change. We see the effects of climate, a planetary shift, right? In the trees, for instance, over the last 4 years, we've seen that mangoes have gone from sort of pushing out one solid batch of blossoms to last season, we had 4 batches of blossoms come out in one season. And right now, today, there are trees with fruit on it, solid fruit you could wrap your hand around, and the same tree is still pushing out new blossoms, you know? And I even wonder if we are paying attention to the increased seismic activity happening around us.
Yes, in the Caribbean.
Yeah, not just in the Caribbean.
And feeling it all the way up here at north in New Providence.
Right. And if you live on the northern foreshore, right, near where I live, every week there's an indicator that we may be being impacted by seismic activity on a regular basis. When you see the regularity with which the infrastructure is damaged or broken in that area. And then it made me think, remember when we could read the skies and the seas? Remember when our ancestors could tell when bad storm was coming? They knew when you could go out on the water and when you needed to come back, which side of the island you should leave from and what you should do. When they could read the skies and tell you what's happening on other islands by how the birds are moving, what time of the year. And then I realized that many of us, we can't even read traffic signals. We can't read what's happening around us and in front of us on the road. And plenty of us don't even know how to read a room. And that became even more poignant for me when I saw the paper this morning. And I saw a beautiful image of a priest blessing the vaccines. Mm-hmm. Until I realized that it was a Christian priest, a priest from a Christian denomination, mm-hmm. blessing vaccines that are intended to be administered to the entire population of the Bahamas. And then I realized not everybody in the Bahamas is Christian.
No.
No, but not everybody in the Bahamas worships a Christian God. And how would they feel knowing that their vaccines were blessed by a Christian prayer, as opposed to maybe an interfaith prayer, mm-hmm. as a compromise, right? Since you won't recognize my right mm-hmm. to freedom of conscience, which includes freedom of thought and freedom of religion. And I thought, how hard is it for these guys to read the room? How is it that over a relatively short period of time, we've lost these skills that helped us survive some of the most horrific treatment ever experienced by humans mm-hmm. and help us pull ourselves out of a place of enslavement to a place of self-determination and sovereignty? And in one fell swoop, I realize, what are these people doing who are getting paid to manage our affairs? Something as important, as simple as this, and as important as this, how are you going to convince people to trust you and take this vaccine if you don't even take the time to think through the issues involved with administering the vaccine? I mean, y'all didn't even take the time to think through the optics properly. And so I wonder, in this short period of time, how is it that we've gone from being able to read the skies and the seas to not even being able to read a room?
Perhaps you expect too much from us.
No, man. Not these people. Oh, no, not the people that produce Tony McKay and Sidney Poitier, right? And then see their names that we don't even know about, their behemoths that are all around the world doing brilliant things, mm-hmm. just sort of undercover, you know? Just plodding along, doing their work. Not the people that created the Gilbert Morris, mm. right? Or Lowell Mortimer, who created the Maritime Academy. Mm-hmm. Not these people. It's not beyond our capacity for thought, for empathy. Something has gone wrong. So anyway, I didn't realize, maybe it ain't us, Cecil. It can't be us. It's got to be something bigger than us. I think it's the political culture.
It's politics?
No. I think it's the political culture. The politics is only a small part of the political culture. Mm-hmm. We as Bahamians tend to see the world through several frameworks, right? And predominantly religion, Christianity, yes. the Bible.
And there's politics in that.
Right. And the family.
And there's politics dynamics in that.
And then politics. Right?
Okay. Social politics.
Well, no, political politics.
Okay.
This is a framework through which we generally navigate the world around us. And as our reliance on the Bible and biblical text and scriptural interpretation, as our reliance on those tools to explore the world and understand the world are sort of fading away, right? We haven't necessarily shifted to an academic or a scholarship realm, right? Where we use academic theory and principles to navigate the world around us. It's like the political culture, right, has filled the vacuum where academics and religion have fallen away.
So you speak of loftier goals. Just say the national anthem.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
speaking
yeah.
of loftier goals and where we should aspire to, and you find that we seem content of sitting and watching and enjoying where we are at this present time.
Or allowing the political culture to dictate the way that things work in this country.
Okay.
Right? So we used to let the Bible dictate
yes.
the way things work in
and
this country.
And we were comfortable with that.
Right. And people like me agitate and say things like, look, maybe you bring a different perspective to your interpretation of the Bible to apply it to 21st century issues and concerns and lives, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you combine your theological perspective with an academic perspective and find balance in those or juxtapose them and interrogate them to create a framework through which to see the world. But I feel like we have allowed the politicians to tell us how things are supposed to work.
So give me an example of that. What happened this weekend that you concluded that this is what it is? Because I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah. Well, I wake in following COVID protocols, and I get on my phone that I sanitize because I be interacting with customers. And I see both the FNM and the PLP are campaigning.
Nothing wrong with campaigning, eh?
Yes, in the midst of COVID protocols.
But one or two people going door to door isn't breaking COVID protocols.
Well, first of all, we were advised to discourage interaction with strangers.
Yes.
Right? But it wasn't just one or two people in the road. Hmm. It was a sea of red people.
It was an ocean.
Right. So there are two videos I saw.
Yes.
In fact, there were three videos I saw. Mm-hmm. One was a group of people lining up outside the FNM headquarters. Mm-hmm. The second was the prime minister speaking to a group of people in a community. Mm-hmm. And the third was, it's like a wave of bread. Mm-hmm. It's just a whole bunch of people in the road. And then I realized the PLP were doing something similar.
Similar. I saw the PLP view too.
Were they in the same constituency?
Same constituency.
Oh, see. So both the PLP and the FNM were in the same constituency.
Yes.
Right? Campaigning.
Campaigning.
They got to be against the COVID protocols.
It does sound so. It does definitely sound so. But it tells a tale on whether, how we view authority, how we view laws, and how serious COVID is, and how the political directorate determines how we react to things. Clearly, once it comes to politics in the Bahamas, the director can say, hey, suspend all the protocols in theory and let us continue with our culture of campaigning. And that's what is happening right now.
No. They can't wait.
Our culture dictates COVID.
No. See, the political culture, right, would tell you that, oh, campaigning is our culture.
Yes.
But you can't go out and have Junkanoo rush out.
No.
But Junkanoo is definitely our culture. Mm. Right? And that's a good example, right? The political culture will try to convince you that campaigning is such an integral part of our culture's Bahamians that surely we could suspend the COVID protocols for the purpose of campaigning.
Yes.
Right?
But the one thing Bahamians are more culturally attached to than Junkanoo is politics. 90% of the population, the voting population, participate in the election, whereas only a small segment actually participates in Junkanoo. So perhaps politicking is so important to us, so vital to us, that we are prepared to risk our lives in order to get our fix.
Now, I would say this, though. 90% of the voting population may vote, but that doesn't mean that they engage in the political culture, A, or B, more specifically, that they engage in campaigning and the politics of it.
So I know you started off the show by suggesting the things that the government should do and what the PLP should do, the opposition should do.
Well, no. What both of them,
yeah,
what the FNM and the PLP could have been doing instead of this.
So instead of walking about, potentially spreading COVID, not socially distanced, ignoring the COVID protocols, what should they do in order to still politic and still spread their message without putting people's lives at risk?
So two things. During the COVID pandemic, certain activities will be suspended due to the nature of the risk involved in the activity and the potential to spread COVID. I'd have just put them on hold. Mm-hmm. I'd have just put them on hold. Kermit, I see we got a call. You there? Caller, just hold the line. We'll be with you in a second. They put it on, you put that on hold. Mm-hmm. What you should have done is used alternate means of communications to engage the electorate, like print media.
So innovation then.
Yeah. Social media. Technology. Right? But waves of people in the road.
The goal was to show strength. when you saw that FNM crowd, you were impressed to know that they have that much support in that community. When you saw the PLP crowd, you considered, said, well, this would be a battle. And I assume the need to have the prime minister present and then have a sea of his supporters. And juxtaposed to the PLP, there was a need. A statement had been was being made. And the statement is, we are here and we're coming home to take this.
I mean, that would be great if politics were like a war, right? Like if politics were like...
It's not a war.
A gang culture. See, if political culture is like gang culture, then that makes sense, right? Because that's how you sort of behave when you're in a war. But aren't there other ways that the prime minister could show a strength via support of his constituents, of the constituents in this area? Isn't there another way that he could show strength by delivering to the constituents completed ideas and plans that were promised for that constituency?
So what about the people who say, I did not see my MP. I need to see my MP. My MP has been missing. Surely there needs to be a fix for that. And this is why the FNM and the PLP response, how it is. It's a culture that exists where the demographics need to be engaged with their MP.
See, this is the thing I have with the political culture now. It's the political culture that suggests to you that seeing your MP or the prime minister for 3 minutes, right, for 3 minutes is sufficient time to satisfy that need for communication with the political directorate or with your MP. See, it's the political culture that would fool you into thinking you could spend 3 minutes with the prime minister and voice all your concerns.
Within 3 minutes
and have them addressed. But more importantly, like, what could they have been doing? Why didn't they have pamphlets and talking points about the virus and behavior and social behavior modification, about the vaccine and the vaccine rollout plan or campaign or protocol? Like, why didn't they use this opportunity? Why didn't they use this opportunity in the community for outreach to address concerns about the vaccine, the state's response to the virus, and the vaccine rollout campaign?
Well, you're giving them ideas now. I'm assuming that the next Saturday, they'll have the pamphlets ready and explain all of that and the vaccine rollout. But I guess... to you, and understandably so, they missed the ball. They missed the ball, and that their culture of the need to win an election overcame everything, all sensibilities. But now the question is, how should the Bahamian people react? Should we be upset? Should we demand more? Or should we be satisfied or say, it is what it is? And that's my phrase now I've embraced to answer all things, echoing the Commissioner of Police. It is what it is.
All right. So I got a text here, right? And the text says, Aaron, you said no one should be campaigning during COVID. Now, I didn't say that. The prime minister said that. The people responsible for creating the COVID protocol said that and suggested that with the actual restrictions, right? And the text goes on to say, but with all due respect, Aaron, you said spoil your ballot. So I really don't take your advice on anything sensible. And they ended the text with sad, right? So I want to ask the texter, do you really think that's a reasonable comparison, right? Me reminding the state that they themselves said that activities like campaigning should be curtailed or restricted for the time being, right? And comparing that to a political campaign that suggested that dissatisfied voters, as opposed to not registering to vote and removing themselves from the electoral process, register to vote, go into the voting booth, and use their ballot to convey a message to said politicians that they are dissatisfied with. Both are attempts. Well, mine is an attempt to shift the political culture.
Yes.
Campaigning in the midst of COVID, after telling your citizens that they have to restrict their own activities, is only further entrenching what I think is the terrible political culture that exists.
It's actually a commentary about equality and evenness. The idea is, in the Bahamas, some people are equal and some people are just more equal than others. But there's equality. Right. Just that some people are just more equal than the common man.
But so here's the thing. Why is it that politicians are more equal than the people they've been elected to serve?
Because of the narrative. The narrative is not they are servant leaders of us. We are servant leaders of them. We respond to them and they give us, as a directorate, they tell us what to do.
But the politicians created that narrative.
Yes.
Despite what the Constitution says.
Yes.
And despite what decades of labor and political agitation would suggest the people expect from them. Mm-hmm. But look here, we got some callers on the line. Kermit, be ready. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green.
Hey, morning, how you doing?
I am blessed, ma'am, and good morning to I call him with the greatest respect, Mr. Critic, because I like his sentiments when he comes to give his views on governments and scenery. I don't agree with you a lot of times, but I like how you speak. I must give you that respect, sir. Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
The level of, where do I start? First of all, would you admit, I think you did before, but would you admit that that there's going to be an election this year?
Boy, look here. It looking more and more. Like, I didn't believe it, but after this weekend's activities, it have to be an election, because why would you prioritize campaigning over preparing for the vaccine rollout?
But the funniest part about this is that the prime minister said out of his own mouth he preferred to lose an election than to lose a country.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but Miss Green, mm-hmm. in essence, there, if you really weigh it out on a scale, he losing both. And you know, I mean, in the level of politics in this country, Miss Green is really going to the lowest. This lap here, this is the lap that I have never seen it with Mr. Pinland, with Mr. Ingram, Mr. Christie, the name calling and calling people names and attacking people, families and doing things. It does not make any sense.
Yeah.
It does not make any sense. But you know something? I want to say this.
Mm-hmm.
The more the prime minister talks about the PLD, the more support and the more gain and traction they're gaining.
Yeah.
I tell you that.
And
the fact, Mr. Neary, let me answer your question, sir.
Go ahead.
Take a survey and go in Centerville, right? I know a lot of people in Centerville, lots of people, and ask them who are FNM supporters in 2017. Ask them if they were amongst that crowd. You could always, in politics, let me tell you the game of politics. Let me help you all about
but
something.
Quick, because I got two callers on the line. Yeah, yeah.
Once you're the prime minister or you're the leader, you can always have people behind you. You don't care if you go all the way in Adelaide, you're going to have people behind you. So don't never believe that all of those persons there are from Centerville. That's mm-hmm. That ain't no truth. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you very much, caller. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You there? Caller, you're on the clock.
Hi.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
That's good.
Still
Hello?
There? Yes, yeah, I'm still there.
Oh, okay. Listen, I think it's a national disgrace that we have a prime minister who's saying this thing. Do as I say and not as I do. Okay? Because that's exactly what he's doing. Okay? He's telling everybody, oh, you have a problem, where's your heart? Where's your soul? And all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have all of these people, right? I guess to say, well, okay, hey, the FNM is strong. I think that was what was on his mind when he went to Senate with all them people. Imagine they had on their masks, but everybody, where's the social distancing?
Right.
The same thing. Do as I say and not as I do.
Right.
All right?
Go on.
He has the law. He has the police going there, locking up people for not social distancing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet you could walk through there because you have it on your mind that I'm going to show that the FNM is strong and maybe the FNM could win in Centerville. I think they were trying to prove a point. But then you can't try to prove your point and then after you done tell us, okay, social distance 6 feet apart. Huh?
Yeah.
You lost your mind, and listen, yeah, because of that, you're going to lose. Anyway, have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Listen, And here's what I want to know. Was the FNM's campaigning a response to the Centerville campaign, right? Which one was first? Because if the FNM decided to go into Centerville after learning that the PLP were going to go in, then this is a sure indication that the political culture is willing to sacrifice the very citizens that they serve, that put them in place for the purpose of winning an election.
And that's something we should investigate and debate over. But this is not the first time that the campaigning process of both major political parties has been critiqued. Mm-hmm. Last weekend, when the PLP had their South South or food giveaway.
The curbside giveaway.
It was a critique and a criticism saying, no, it shouldn't be like this during COVID. Mm-hmm. And then we had the FNM had something similar in terms of a party where people came and get assistance. And again, there was a critique saying during COVID, this should not be happening.
Yeah.
But again, we see the next week, the same thing happened again.
Right.
So it tells us that perhaps the Bahamian people are not complaining enough, or that we are content and satisfied with the status quo. And the status quo demands that campaigning must happen.
Well, and I would word it this way, that the political culture is so overwhelming that people, particularly people in need, right?
Yes.
Can't figure out a way to operate outside of it and still achieve or get the things that they really need.
So how do poor people get help?
Poor people must die so mediocre people could live their best lives, Cecil.
That answers that.
That's what the political culture
that,
say.
Yes. That is our culture right now.
But listen, I can seriously answer the question right after these calls, because that's the most important thing. What can we do and what can poor people do to develop agency so that they can operate and secure the things they need without participating in a political culture that doesn't necessarily serve them?
Yes.
Right. So, caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green. Good morning to your co-host as well this morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I just want to say, when the Prime Minister make his national address, he always talk about he get his his emergency orders through health.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he just proved to the nation. Fishivago Lang said, I'll never forget these words, the leader has to be responsible, the country.
Mm-hmm.
He brought these emergency orders to the people.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And he is broken it. He always say these words too. Thank God there's a doctor at the helm.
Yep.
I'm a doctor. I'm about saving lives.
Yep.
What do you mean you're about saving lives? And you've broken the emergency orders.
Mm-hmm. And
where is, why are you putting the police, the commissioner, in a compromising position?
Mm-hmm.
You have the police going around talking about COVID kind and can hire these persons, form a COVID whatever task force or whatever that is, driving these COVID cars.
COVID ambassadors.
Going around, people perhaps having parties or whatever, locking them up to go before the court.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting the police in a compromising position.
Yep. Well,
so no longer the country, no longer they accept his words. When he talk about medical reasons or whatever, he get his, like I form his emergency, I reiterate this, through the medical.
Community.
But you walking out, you say you saving lives. Where are the lives you saving this day as a gathering? And another thing, people like to hold on to two major parties. Remember the DNA walk to in the bunch?
Yeah.
In Pinewood.
You
just have
bunch.
To say political parties. You always hold on, I talk about your guests, to the two major parties, the DNA.
Yeah.
Another little split of parties like Lincoln Bean, those two. Look at that big what they have on Iron Valley Park.
Well,
you can't just.
Well, one of the things I was going to point out was that it's so important for the Prime Minister primarily in
the
FNM
lead.
And the Bride and the PLP.
And if the PLP. All the other parties will see that it is not no medical thing he gets. It's just from him.
Well,
that's how it look. So therefore, they follow him because it's not from the medical thing. What he trying to put forward to the country is not.
Thank you, ma'am.
And it is not about saving lives with him.
Well,
you got to listen to him and see his actions. It's just a feel-good when he addressing the nation to make himself look good, but then there's actions after.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. I got another caller on the line I got to get to. Thank you very much. But listen, this is why it's so important for the prime minister and the state's agents and actors to take the time and practice mindfulness and observe everything going on around them, including how their words are being perceived and processed, right? Because if we look at today's paper, if we look at the Tribune, there's an article titled Health Unions, We've Not Been Consulted, right? And just to quote quickly from the article, asked about concerns that the government had not brought the CPSA, that's the Consultant Physicians Staff Association, and the Bahamas Nurses Union to the table to discuss the process, Health Minister Renwood Wells said yesterday, quote, the most important persons, close quote, were consulted.
There you go.
Right? But how could the people who are expected to administer the vaccine and to receive the vaccine in the first phase of administration, administering, not be consulted in the process? And how, and more importantly, like, let's forget the technical side.
Yes.
How does that make people feel?
Yes, yes, right. Yes. And the feeling, I want to say that not, and it's so hard to say it out in words. There are times that you have good intentions, good intentions. And the way that you enact the good intentions ruin the entire dish. Mm-hmm. And I give this analogy of cooking crab. Crab fat needs to go into the pot to make the crab and rice. But there's a bit of gall inside there that bitters the entire pot. No matter how much herbs and seasoning you put inside that crab and rice, once you put that bit of gall inside there, it ruined. And again, the whole thing must be thrown away. And I'm finding that this administration and part of the last administration having issues with communicating with the general populace in terms of what it is that we want and what we deserve. Mm-hmm. And in the process of trying to deepen democracy and trying to govern us properly and have a better governance, I find that there's a bit of gall in their attempt to make life better for Bahamians.
Well, and I see a perfect example is the image in today's paper of the Christian priest praying over the vaccines. Obviously, it was well-intentioned.
It was well-intentioned.
Right, obviously.
Well-intended.
Yeah, you ain't trying to throw no case on people of other
God
religions.
God is going to protect the vaccine.
Right. But you refuse to acknowledge, A, that this is not a theocratic state.
It's not.
B, no, it is not a theocratic state.
But we have the bishop endorsing the vaccine. Two bishops, in fact.
Yeah, but that don't make us a theocratic state.
That makes us Christian.
Yeah, but the way the Constitution says it, right?
Yeah.
It don't mean that all of us are Christian.
Perhaps the Constitution is wrong.
I mean, the Constitution could be wrong, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Constitution is more right than the Prime Minister.
There you go.
And the leader of the opposition.
Yeah.
And the chairman of the opposition party.
You think he's more right than the chairman of the opposition party?
Yes. Could you believe that?
That's a bold statement, because you know he always right.
Apparently so.
There you go.
Always right. But listen, I'm so sorry, caller. I missed you. But let's get to some texts, Cecil, because we got some interesting texts here. The text says, "Were the PLP social distancing?" Well, listen, I hope by now, texter, you are satisfied that we have addressed both the behavior of the PLP and the FNM. Because if it turns out that the FNM decided that they were campaigning first, and they got permission to campaign first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the PLP came behind and said, oh, well, we're going to go there too. Then I got plenty licks for the PLP.
But one must also appreciate that media was present. So if media is present, that means they have to be called, eh? And that they were aware beforehand that two big masses, two conflicting entities will be in Centerville walking. So this was orchestrated. This was a planned event.
Do you think that the PLP and the FNM conspired together?
They colluded together. That they wanted to work, and they both going to work and campaign within Centerville.
Regardless of the COVID protocols.
Regardless of the COVID protocols, because the people of the Bahamas wanted to see that.
I mean, that's what the political culture suggests. I think it's because the political culture says that politics is more important than your right to life.
And that's subjective.
I mean, I guess. We got a caller on the line. Caller, you on the clock? Good morning, caller. You still there? Did I? Oh,
hello?
Good morning, ma'am.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Oh, good morning. Dear, I hear people talking about the PLC.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen, the competent authority himself, right?
Yes.
Breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if that. Listen, if there was a club on that street anywhere in Centerville, they could go and have all kinds of people come in now. And the police can't lock them up or nothing or can't do nothing because the competent authority who has set this law is through here with all these people who are not social distancing. You see that?
Yeah.
You on, hello?
Yes, ma'am. I'm right here. I'm listening. Oh, I got you.
You see what I'm saying? You are the one. You are the one who set the rule. And you're now breaking the rule.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
And
so at that time, anybody in that neighborhood of Centerville could have had a big old party. All we got to do is have on our mask. We could be hugging up, 10 of us hugging up and all of that. Listen, the first person you got to lock up is them set who come with documents because he's the one who set the rule. And see, our people have to learn to think like that. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You set. Do as I say and not as I do. Come on. Stop it.
Right.
Stop it.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
And what horrible optics after the beautiful headline that says, I think it says, follow our lead.
Follow the leader.
Follow our lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what horrible, horrible optics.
So what do you expect next week's Saturday is going to look like? I'm hearing that they're going to be in Grantstown. You know, you think it's going to be a smaller crowd, both PLP and FNM, as they walk through?
Well, first of all, I expect that if they're going to continue to disadvantage the citizen versus the political class in this way, that they will at least set a standard or protocol for campaigning.
But the standard and the protocol has been set. You just don't appreciate it and accept it.
No, the law doesn't appreciate it or accept it. And as someone who is being penalized by the law, I feel called to question why it is in contradiction with the actual law that they created.
Mm.
But here's what I would like to see. If next weekend you're all going to campaign, then only one party could campaign in one constituency at a time.
An agreement? Okay. That would have been interesting.
I mean, they agree on other things.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the other things. 1 second. Kermit, is that a new caller? Caller, is that you still on the line?
Yes, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. Good morning, Mr. Neary. You know, Ms. Green, you know, thanks for, like, listening to the words that actually come out of people's mouth and then using it against them. I've done the same thing with Dr. Fauci. But apparently the medical pundits over here, they are resisting the new paradigms. And I really quote from Dr. Fauci, and I could use that against them because he's being sincere. And so the fact that I'm not hearing it on the radio is really disheartening to me. And so even with the statements made by the pundits this morning, it's not about believing, it's about knowing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you want to do good, you have to be fastidious and as truthful as possible to the people. Now, the fact that Dr. Forbes, you know, I wasn't impressed with her because, you know, she's stumbling for words. She's not, like, just verbally forthcoming all the time. And so the thing is, she said that the 60s, the 70% for the herd immunity. But the new paradigm is shifted to 80% to 90% because of the high transmission rate of the new variant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that I've been talking about antigenic shift, and you don't hear them using these terminologies because they don't want to educate the public. And the fact that they're not, see, antigenic shift is something that is ongoing. So the fact that you have antigenic shift, and there are different types of mutations. They have a neutral mutation where there's really basically no change. So that means your immune system is still responds to the phenotype. So the fact that they're discrediting your own natural immune system, saying, "Now you had COVID, you already recovered." I know some of my people. I know some people had COVID. They normal now. So what I'm saying is, the fact that you're discrediting their own immune system, saying they have to go get vaccinated, that's unscientific. They're not talking about antibody-dependent enhancement, where when exposed to the real live viruses, the in vivo studies, all the animals die. And these things are getting up the Pfizer and Moderna site.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the other medical pundits online, so the fact that they're trying to control the narrative, but it's online, and you're not hearing it, and they're discrediting other pundits who are way more qualified than them and way more well-versed. And this is hurtful to me. So, you know, who want to take the vaccine, but I want the public to know that they're not. I've been reading for too long, and to be brainwashed. You have to juxtapose the cashless paradigm, the climate change paradigm, the attack on the American dollar as the currency of the world. All of these paradigms shifting together. When you read the Great Reset, these are things that they haven't planned. The fact that you could be vaccinated for a virus and still you could contract it later. That's not with the hepatitis B. When you get hepatitis B vaccine, that one over, you can't get hepatitis no more. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. So you have a vaccine, you're vaccinating the people, but then you keep talking about variants and mutation. Hence, a new variant, vaccination, a new variant, vaccination, a new variant, vaccination. This is the type of paradigm that they're driving now. This is called making a market for vaccine. It was implemented by Bill Gates.
All right, there. Number 52. Thank you for your contribution, right? We got to be very careful how we have the conversation around the vaccine and our response to the global discourse around the vaccine. One of the things I wanted to ask my guest today is, do you think the Prime Minister would have been better suited if he had spent this weekend creating a unit to address the concerns, right, whether real or perceived, of citizens about a vaccine and what the state's intention is for the rollout of the vaccine? Because surely declaring everything as fake news is no longer sufficient in 2021, generally, and for this particular health issue, specifically.
There's definitely a trust issue in terms of governance. Mm-hmm. And that trust issue, either perceived or is a reality, exists. And we see that there are a number of behemoths who are not interested in taking this vaccine at all. Mm-hmm. And when you ask the reason, you find that some of the reason does not make sense. And when you ask me, should the competent authority make it a greater effort over the weekend in terms of ensuring that people understand what this vaccine is about? Sure. Because there are persons who would, if you give information to, would understand what this vaccine is all about and would have embraced it. But clearly, that is not as important than our culture, which is to campaign. And I believe that moving forward, because it's easy to critique and criticize the Prime Minister, and we find that there are a number of persons who take advantage of that. But I believe the Prime Minister means well. I mean, the Prime Minister means well, and it's up to the Bahamian citizens to guide him in terms of what it is that he should be doing. I remember that when we were last place in terms of our response to COVID-19, mm-hmm. or first to the last, and the Prime Minister came to the Bahamian public and said, hey, if you have any ideas, bring it forward, and he make a mechanism where you could have put out ideas. We moved from first to last to now being ranked as one of the better countries who responded to COVID-19. That correctiveness is for the credit of the Bahamian people responding to the Prime Minister's demand that we help him. Mm-hmm. Mind you, only he one is getting the benefit of it and say, well, look what I did. You know, it's a matter of trust and how competent I am. But yeah. clearly, that we need to now help guide the Prime Minister on what to do and how to respond.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I got a severe response to that, but that was a great contribution. You guys are going to hear it when we get back from the break. You're listening to 96.9 FM and you're On the Clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back after this break.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
A good yawning this morning. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and we're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're also streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com, or you can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or on Flow Channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC and standard text rate supply. Or you can call us at 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. And if you missed the top half of this show, you can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to www.guardiantalkradio.com and clicking the podcasts tab. Well, Cecil, it's been a lively conversation. You know we got to get to the second part of this, the most heinous part of the weekend, right? Because these boy them was serious. Just road and hurting people's feelings was the activity for the weekend. Mm-hmm. Now, callers, before I come to you, let me just say this. The statements that the Prime Minister made about the PLP are unacceptable and should not be tolerated by any of us. No matter how you feel about the PLP party as a whole or the individual members, the MPs, or the constituents and people who voted for them, it's just intolerable.
You sound in PLP.
I'm just saying. You know what I sound like?
Verbiage is kind of PLP-ish.
I sound like somebody who has been referred to as a contaminant in their own country.
Now you have me teary-eyed now.
I know how it feels for others to suggest that you and people like you need to be excised and removed for the sake of the country.
Hurtful words, yes.
They're horrible words. And to come from...
The ultimate leader, our leader.
Absolutely. At a time when you're supposed to be bringing people together and convincing them that they have to take a sacrifice for the whole of us here now and for future Bahamians by trusting them and taking this vaccine. Listen, so let's get to the callers. I just wanted to put that out there, callers, in case any of y'all wanted to respond to that.
You have me thinking.
Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
You know, that word "effigy" was, you know, horrific in itself, and it shows that the campaign is on, and that first the leader, because it always starts at leadership. They set the tone. They set the tone. So when you're gonna go and you use that word, and then the next day you are contaminating the neighborhood. What does that make you? Okay, when you're going to go, you're the person who had us locked up in these houses for days, had the young people, the young people who are listening, who are watching. Okay, my granddaughter will be voting for the first time in this election, 18 years old. These young people, they listen and they take notes.
Yes, they
understand? Don't think you're going to be able to swing these young people and citizens the way they have been getting swung for so many years.
Oh, yes.
You understand?
So yes, ma'am.
Where you're going to go and you use that word contaminant, and then you're going to tell us if you want to live, you stay home. If you want to die, go out. I remember those words.
Yep.
This thing is still here. This pandemic is still among us.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? then you're going to stand over two boxes with 20,000
vaccines doses,
in
yeah.
it. And what is our population?
400,000, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're only, the as far as I'm concerned, the selective few. I don't know if the other 30 is going to come and when it's going to come.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're going to go and you're going to march about and bounce around in these small, because those streets are so narrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hardly see any people who live in those communities out there.
Yes.
You said you're going to come to my door after you surround yourself with each other. And I'm going to say this in reference to the opposition and the DNA, to both opposition parties.
Yes.
They're all doing it.
Right. The political culture overwhelms and consumes all parties.
But see, but when you're the competent authority and when we have a crisis going on in this country, because guess what? I've lost loved ones due to COVID.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't come tell me after you then go on and spread around with your red tennis. Because this was happening, this didn't happen on Saturday. This happened in Golden Gate, where he led it. See, it's different if these other persons may be trying it. But then you're going, and then you're going to have police security.
Oh, wow.
The very same police officers who are enforcing these laws, locking people up, giving people citations,
mm-hmm.
where we have to fine almost up to $2,000 to pay fines because of us breaking the COVID rules. When you have a party bus with five people in there trying to breathe, you're going to give them citations. And yet you have the competent authority who's supposed to be overseeing this COVID and us.
And vaccine rollout.
Better. And, you know, you say, but give the prime minister or give him the credit for doing what he did so that we can have the lower numbers. We, as the people, are doing this because we don't want to get sick and we don't want to die
mm-hmm.
and we don't want to bury any of our loved ones. So, Mr. Competent Authority, please don't insult me by telling me one thing, you're doing something
doing
else,
another.
And then you're going to say you're going to have a service in memory of the persons that we have lost.
Yes, ma'am.
Due to COVID, then your actions are telling me otherwise. And I implore the opposition, come up with a different
strategy.
We have to come up with a different strategy in order to go, because you invade those neighbors being so clustered. I just see that post, you know, the COVID thing with the red blotches, and that thing is so scary.
I just
see it building it because all of us, those houses that you walk through that corner, they may not even have running water.
I understand.
You understand me? So I just wanted to say that because it really bothered me.
Yes, ma'am.
What I saw with the invasion, and it's going to keep coming. Please don't come to my house.
Yes, ma'am.
Put a sign up.
Put a sign up.
Don't come.
Thank you very much. I got a couple more callers before we go. Caller, you got 30 seconds. You're on the clock. Still there, caller?
Yeah. We're calling the Dave Univoice along with you and your guest.
Good morning.
I want to make three quick points. Number one is I think, especially all Auckland's people, should put Glenys Hannah Martin back in the House of Assembly because she works for the people. You know what I'm saying? And you don't hear any immaturity about her. Secondly, right,
mm-hmm.
When it comes to Dr. Forbes, this morning I listened, I think she was dancing around. She didn't give us the reason or give us what are in the medication, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything she said is from what she got from the international people. You see what I'm saying? My last point is, mm-hmm. right, I'll listen to Dr. Sands also, right?
Mm-hmm.
What he got to remember is that nobody know the chemical charge that what is putting out, what is saying in people's brain. So when he said that Dwight is foolishness pertaining to Bill Gates, he shouldn't say those kind of words to be a doctor. And I love him and respect him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But always remember, you don't know what people are thinking in their head.
I get you, sir. Thank you very much, Brayman. I don't have any more time for callers. I'm so sorry, callers. We're going to pick up this show later in the week. I'm going to read some of these texts. Aaron Minnis out there shaking hands on the campaign during COVID, but with all due respect, oh, you said spoil your ballot, so you're not taking my advice. That's okay, because spoiling the ballot may have been the most effective political recourse that any of us have engaged in the last 35 years. Because if you think these people could hear your voice over the sound of the political culture, you may be mistaken. right? And don't think I didn't forget that I forgot the response of the chairman of the PLP party to the prime minister's statement, right? And dear sir, Mr. Mitchell, please stop. It was unnecessary. Leave it to us to engage the prime minister on these horrible and intolerable statements. Please, you follow Michelle Obama. When they go low, you go high.
Don't go lower.
No, let the political advocates engage the political behavior and culture.
Can I see your top lip?
Because look here. No, you can't say that.
What about your mouth?
No. In fact, thank you, Kermit, for not cutting me off. You are not allowed to talk about people's mothers or relatives in this dispensation.
At all?
And all right-thinking Bahamians need to stand up and demand that. In fact, it ain't no more click, ain't no more drinking, ain't no more partying until we get the political class and the political culture sorted and understanding that they do not have a right to govern at the expense of Bahamians and ordinary people. Anyway, Bahamas, I kept you long. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. You've been tuned into On the Clock with Aaron Green on 96.9 FM. And coming up next is Lee Van Miller and Unleashed. Have a great day, Bahamas.